You are about to meet the father of the sexual revolution. Be prepared to be shocked.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Many of you know that it was on Wednesday, September 27th, that Hugh Hefner died. I remember the date distinctly because it was the day after my book, Saving a Sick America, came out with a whole chapter focused on From Playboy to Purity, Reversing the Sexual Revolution. Some people think of Hugh Hefner as the father of the sexual revolution, but he is really the poster boy for the sexual revolution. Even though Hugh Hefner did great evil in terms of what he spread and merchandised, the man who's really the father of it is Alfred Kinsey. And there is so much about Kinsey that the general public does not know. There is so much about his research, his studies, his methods, who he was himself, that the general public still does not know. The perversions of this man, the evil agenda of this man, and I'm not exaggerating in anything I'm saying, this needs to be known by every educator in America, by every parent in America, by every concerned citizen in America. And my guest today, Dr. Judith Reisman, is the number one person in the world to educate us on who Alfred Kinsey was and what his legacy is. She is the author of a number of books. Let me give a quick intro. She holds a PhD from Case Western Reserve University. She's served as a professor at the University of Haifa in Israel, American University, George Mason University, and guest lectured at quite a list of prestigious institutions. Among her many important and related books, Sexual Sabotage, that came out in 2010, Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences, 1998-2000, Soft Porn Plays Hardball in 1991. And the National Review said this, back in 1998, the sexual revolution was based on a lie. Dr. Judith Reisman has spent 30 years uncovering the truth. Now, friends, I just want to give you a heads up. We are going to be talking about some very intense, heavy things on the show today. And I know a lot of you listen as families. Many times I've met with folks after a meeting, and there's the mom and dad and the young kids, and you all listen together, and the kids can do my radio announcer's intro, and they know the phone number. And that's awesome. We've taken pictures together and prayed together. That's wonderful. Today's show is one that's best not heard by little ones and young ones because of the intense nature of the content. Now, we will take some calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But I want to tell you up front, what we're going to talk about is not just some internet rumor. When you understand the perversion that lies behind the sexual revolution and the lies on which it has been based and the damage it has done to our society, it will sober you up even more. Many of you are burdened and concerned about the sexual anarchy of our society and the promiscuity and permissiveness and perversion of our society in so many different ways. Today you'll be burdened all the more. We'll be practical as well in terms of things we can do in response. But this is the type of show best to listen to on your own as older ones, certainly not with little children, older teens, younger teens. That's for parents to decide what's best in listening together, because we're going to talk about some very, very disturbing things today, and all of it is accurate and all of it is factual. So, are you ready? We'll be right back with my special guest.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today as we focus on the father of the sexual revolution. I'm very slow to describe someone as a sexual pervert. I'm very slow to label someone's actions and intentions as evil. But in a case like this, these words are merited. My guest, Dr. Judith Reisman, I introduced in our last segment, but she has devoted decades and decades of her life to exposing the lies surrounding this man, Dr. Alfred Kinsey. Dr. Reisman, thanks so much for joining us on the air today.
Hi, I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm curious to know how it is that you have given so many years of your life to this very difficult and ugly subject.
Well, when it was clear that the work of Dr. Kinsey spawned the massive changes in our laws, and then the massive changes in the character of our people, both of them connected, that fellow named Hugh Hefner was going to be the pamphleteer for Kinsey, said, had been a virgin, like most of the guys were in those years in college, and he was 22. He read Kinsey, and like millions of others, he was completely changed. But the difference is he went on to change millions himself. So Kinsey's lies about our great-grandparents now, you know, World War II generation, his lies about that generation spawned the next generation, and the next was learning from that, and we're into three generations that have lost their moral compass almost totally. So that now, you know, we're facing a massive epidemic of rape of children and so on.
Yeah, so the consequences are extreme. By the way, Dr. Reisman, just having a slight problem with your connection. You're not on speakerphone, are you?
No, I'm not. But I'm hearing that echo.
Yeah, all right.
Really.
Got it. We'll have to work on things when we get to our first. In fact, let's just try to do this very quickly. I'm going to have Howard reconnect with you because what we're going to talk about is of critical importance, and I don't want our listeners to miss anything. So, Howard, let's try to get a better connection right now, all right? And I'm going to take it on with a few things. We'll have to check a different phone, try the backup numbers, or she can call us. But one way or another, we've got to fix this so that we can do this properly. Let me say a few things. If you are concerned about the world in which your kids are growing up, a world in which 8-year-old kids are accessing pornography, I mean, is that imaginable? Is that imaginable in a normal world, 8-year-olds accessing pornography? If you're okay with a world in which 11-year-old kids are sexting each other, sending naked pictures of each other in middle school, if you're okay with a world like that, if you're not concerned about 14-year-old girls having STDs for life, if you're not concerned about 20-year-old young men that need Viagra to function because they're so addicted to porn, if that's all fine to you, then whatever we discuss, whatever we talk about with Dr. Reisman will be, oh, no big deal. But if you say, no, this is not right, this is not the world in which we want to raise our kids, and then think to the generation after, if this is where we are now, this state of sexual anarchy and sexual confusion, if this is where we are now, what's going to happen a few more years down the line? If we're in a stage now where things are so twisted and upside down that a kid could come out at school as gay to teachers and peers, say a 12-year-old kid, without the parents being allowed to even know that. If we're in a situation today where a 6-year-old can get sent to the principal's office for, quote, misgendering another child, saying Johnny is a boy, whereas Johnny now wants to be a girl today or identified as a girl today. If you're okay with that type of social madness, then I guess what we talk about today is no big deal. But if you're like me and many, many millions of other Americans, especially conservatives, especially people of faith, these things are not okay. And we haven't even talked about the effect of these things on adults, the effect of pornography on adults. But so much goes back to Alfred Kinsey. In 1948, he published a landmark book about the sexuality of the human male. And in it gave statistics about sexual responses of adults and right down to infants. You think, what? Infants? Little children? Their responses, how long it took them to reach a certain sexual point? You think, what? What kind of madness is it? Where did he get the information from? And why weren't Americans all over the country? This is 1948, pulling their hair out. In fact, he was hailed as a hero. And oh, he discovered lots of things about America that we didn't know about, and how many men actually have had homosexual relations, and on and on and on. And this just became the data. He became the scientist, even though it wasn't even his field of academic expertise. And he was the expert, and he was now enlightening America. And a lot more people were unfaithful than we realized, and a lot more people did things in private than we realized. And so much of what he presented, well, I'll let Dr. Reisman tell us where the information comes from. But so much of it, I'm going to wait. Let's just say that the sources themselves were perverted sources and evil sources. Here's a Kinsey quote. The only unnatural sex act is that which you cannot perform. What about his upbringing? What about his religious upbringing? What about his religious beliefs? Did that impact things at all? We'll talk about that as well. I wrote an article that got Dr. Reisman's attention last week, hence the discussion to have her on the air with me this week. And it was about what Alfred Kinsey and Hugh Hefner had in common. Some of it is their religious upbringing. And some of it is a casting off of certain things they believed in, an utter rebellion against the nature, the laws of nature that God has established and the laws of morality that God has established. These men were ultimately rebels as well. But the big question is, how did he become so famous? Why would someone with such perverted studies end up on the front cover of Time magazine, not once, but twice? Kinsey basically said the only thing wrong sexually is abstinence or celibacy or delayed marriage. Otherwise, anything goes, and he practiced what he preached. And yet to this day, we talk about the Kinsey scale. To this day, we talk about being graded on the Kinsey scale of 1 through 6, that does someone have exclusively homosexual desires, exclusively heterosexual desires, and where do you fit on that scale? The Kinsey Institute in America, England, still widely hailed and widely praised. Hopefully we've fixed our connection here. Dr. Reisman, just a minute before the break, I've been filling in further details, but in a nutshell, how is it that Alfred Kinsey was hailed in America as a hero in 1948?
Well, I think the key, oh dear, it's doing the echo again. I think the key, of course, was that he was backed by Rockefeller Foundation, and Indiana University. And the whole thing was a mass media blitz that was paid for like nothing we had ever seen for any kind of scientific work. And he was promoted and pushed on the American people. And it was World War II ended, and here he came along and allegedly was telling us the truth about our sexuality. And people tended to believe the science. Come on, we had won the war because of science, right?
Mm. And he's now the poster boy for enlightening America. Okay, we'll be right back, hopefully without further interruptions. Thanks for your patience, Dr. Rice-Mull. We work on this unusual phone problem.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Judith Reisman. Among her important books on Alfred Kinsey, Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences, Sexual Sabotage. She's also written Soft Porn Plays Hardball. Dr. Reisman, what were the new revelations, the new discoveries that Alfred Kinsey allegedly had and was now bringing to the American people in the late 1940s?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is that Kinsey claimed that we were, all of us, our grandparents actually, engaged in widespread promiscuous activity, rather like, Studio 54, right? I mean, lots of orgies and lots of sex, you know, and all that sort of thing. But he said there was no harm. No, there was no downside to it. He said, you know, we had such a low rate of STDs at the time. We had two STDs, you know, gonorrhea and syphilis, and those were treatable by penicillin. He said simply the children were sexual from birth, that they could have sex with adults or with older kids, you know, with no problem. And all of these lies, he said he interviewed 4,441 women, and there was never any real rape. So you see, there was no harm in whatever it was that he claimed we were doing, massive abortions and so on. Well, of course, he never had to explain to anybody the fact that abortion was illegal, of course, and that since contraception was really restricted to married couples, that where were all the babies, right? And where was all VD if we were engaged in all this activity? So, and then added to that, his claim that children were sexual from birth, which then spun off into changing all of our laws through the Model Penal Code, which went all over the nation, and most every state adopted all or part of the Model Penal Code, which was, therefore, the sex information in the Model Penal Code was all based basically on Alfred Kinsey.
Mm. All right. When he gives his information about children and their sexual responses, first, where did he get such information? And second, why didn't Americans say, where are you getting this from? How do you know this?
Well, we had all these scientists, you see, who looked at Kinsey. When I first realized what he was doing, I said, this can't be real. You know? This is not possible. Okay? However, when I checked all the material written, even the evaluation by the American Statistical Association, I did not find anything anywhere where they question how did he know a two-month-old baby did or did not have an orgasm, right? How did he know that a five-month-old baby within a certain period of time, because they were all timed with a stopwatch, did or did not have an orgasm? How did he know that a child of four had 26 orgasms in 24 hours? You know that is an around-the-clock experiment. It was all print. It was all in black and white. No one. The people questioned his data. May males and females, you know, about what they were doing. But nobody questioned child data. And it was repeated in our textbooks for our educated classes, our psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers. You know, they would read all this information about it, the harmlessness of sex with. And, of course, look where we are today. I mean, it's all been implemented.
And his sources for this horrific information, if he didn't make it up. And by the way, I remember hearing about it many, many years ago before I was giving much thought to it. I don't know how, just reading it somewhere. And I thought, I wonder how they did it. It just the shock and perversion of it, because it was decades ago. I wasn't even thinking about this. It was so out there that I didn't even it didn't even dawn on me to say, wait a second, where did he get this from? So basically, his sources for this information, were they not pedophiles and sexual perverts themselves?
Yeah. Yes, they certainly were. He's the guy who said that 10 to 37% of the population is homosexual, or they are, that we're all really sexual. We are fluid, leading to the whole concept of transgender, you know, mixed and matched kind of. And not only that, but he had 1,000. He wrote in his book that he interviewed 400 ex-offenders. They were part of his population, his normal average population of college guys, you know. And the most important and relevant issue here in connection with Hefner was a virgin at 22. He, like most guys were in college, he read Kinsey. And he said, oh, my gosh, you know, everybody's been lying to me. They're all hypocrites. This repression of our sexuality is a farce, because there's no harm from experiencing and trying all these things. And he said, I will be a pamphleteer, and I will start, you know, a magazine to broadcast this to the world. And he did, of course. And so from the two of them working together, supported by the Rockefeller Foundation and Indiana University, and never challenged from that point of view by anyone. Although there were many, many people, scientists, that challenged much of what Kinsey wrote, but they did not challenge the child data at all. That carried the day.
Mm. Extraordinary. Here's what we're going to do. Our phone connection is still cutting out some, and I want to be sure that we get the maximum listenership and even viewership for my interview with Dr. Reisman. So what we're going to try to do is schedule another time when we can record a Skype interview that we can then air in numerous different forms and blast out all over the internet for maximum viewership, because no one has the information as clearly as Dr. Reisman has. No one knows how it has affected our society as well as she does, and things that we must do to turn the tide. So just because of some cutting in and out on the phone, I don't want to let anything be missed. So we're going to work on rescheduling in a time that suits Dr. Reisman's schedule. We'll put it on Skype so that we can watch and listen as well. And friends, the roots of the sexual anarchy of today are worse than you understand. The attack on our children, what's happened in the courts, what's happened in the schools, what's happened in the media, is more pervasive than we likely even know. In other words, the cancer has spread through the whole body in a very critical way. Changes can be made, but radical changes are necessary. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Phone lines are open now. If you have a question of any kind whatsoever, the type you'd normally ask on a Friday, any question of any kind, anything where you want to take issue with me, anything where you want to probe more deeply about what I believe or why, nothing is off limits as long as it's appropriate for Christian radio. Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. First, let me tell you a funny story. My dear friend Dan Juster, theologian, Messianic Jewish theologian and scholar, went to Wheaton University, among other schools. And one of his professors was a very eccentric kind of guy, brilliant philosopher. Dan said that he would wear the same tie when it went completely out of fashion until it came back into fashion. And he meticulously scheduled every hour of his day. And one day he realized he had a gap in his schedule, 1 hour open that was not scheduled, not meeting with anyone, not scheduled to be writing or researching or whatever else he would be doing, not teaching. So he decided to do something spontaneous. And he came in and he said to his class, he said, I just had the most amazing hour. Nothing was scheduled, so I did something completely spontaneous. He said, I liked it so much, I am now going to schedule 1 hour a week for spontaneity. Yeah, he was going to schedule 1 hour a week to do something spontaneous. The reason I mention that to you is we have had a spontaneous and sudden change of subjects. I had a special guest on with me the last half hour, or part of the last half hour, Dr. Judith Reisman, as we were talking about Dr. Alfred Kinsey, the father of the sexual revolution. We kept having phone connection problems. It was difficult to hear her properly. What she has to say is so important and valuable that we just ended the interview. We're going to continue it for another 30 minutes. We just ended the interview so that we can record one on Skype and thereby get it out on video and audio as well to our maximum audience. So if you happen to see what we were planning to talk about today, and that's why you're listening, well, we've had a change of subjects, but feel free to raise questions and talk with me about the sexual revolution as well. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. I'm just looking at a tweet from Chosen Books. Craig Keener and I are scheduled to write a book together, a short book. So it's not going to be a massive scholarly volume. It's not going to be like Craig's, 6,000-page commentary in the book of Acts. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to have 85,000 words of endnotes like my book Israel's Divine Healer. But it's going to be very readable based on solid scholarship as to why we don't believe in a pre-trib rapture and why we're not afraid of the Antichrist. It's not a book to divide. We honor those who have differences. Come on, if we're going to divide over end-time beliefs, then we're going to hardly have anything in common through the whole body of Christ. But this will be very practical, eye-opening, and helpful in many, many ways. It will get into the Word. It will give a positive case for what we believe, why we don't hold to a pre-trib rapture. It'll give promises of assurance of God's grace and keeping power in the midst of trials and tests and tribulations, and even God's wrath being poured out on the ungodly. And we'll give some history as to how some of the pre-trib beliefs have come about. We come back. I'm going straight to your questions. You've got questions. We've got answers. A special Tuesday edition on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. You've got questions, we've got answers. Here's a question from Father Gary. I'll just stop there. Don't know why I was about to give the last name. From Father Gary, I've been asked to give a lecture on pornography and its effect on the church's ministry. I was wondering if you could help me with resources. I've been given 50 minutes. Yeah, there's a lot that's out there, sir. In my book, Saving a Sick America, the chapter on From Playboy to Purity, Reversing the Sexual Revolution, you'll find a lot of relevant data there, all right? A lot of relevant data there in that chapter, a lot of relevant endnotes and practical books. The guest I had on the last half hour, Dr. Judith Reisman, if you just Google her or search on Amazon, R-E-I-S-M-A-N, Dr. Judith Reisman, her book on sexual sabotage or her book on soft porn and its consequences, or Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences on a Larger Level, I think you'll find that very, very helpful as well. So check out in my book, Saving a Sick America, the chapter on reversing the sexual revolution. We lay out where things are today. We give links to relevant websites that are helpful as well as informative. So I think that'll be helpful to you. And really go through Proverbs 5 through 7 and 1 Corinthians 6 very carefully and prayerfully. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Proverbs chapters 5 through 7. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brandon in Charleston, West Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brown. It's an honor to be on your show today.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm calling today because since you're on the subject of, you know, sexually explicit material and how it's affecting our generation, I thought I would tell you about YouTube's kid channels that are showing explicitly sexual content to children, if you're not aware of that.
Give me an example of one of the channels, and without getting into details, what you mean by sexually explicit.
Sure. There was this one YouTube channel about this creepy man, a YouTuber named, I forgot his name, but he made a YouTube video about it. He was basically undressing baby dolls, and he would have a target painted on the baby doll's butt and, like, throw syringes at it, and it was horrible to see. Mm. It was absolutely disgusting, and they played this cheery baby music. And if you were a parent that were letting your kids watch this in the living room and you weren't attending them, you wouldn't have thought anything creepy otherwise.
Mm. Yeah, you know, the thing is, the reminder, sir, is there's just a lot of stuff out there. It's the type of thing where, just like you're in public, let's say you're at the mall and you've got your 4 or 5 year old with you. That kid is you're holding hands the whole way. You're walking together. You know, maybe you're a dad. You put the kid on your shoulders for a little while, but you're not telling the kid, "All right, I'll meet you back here in 5 minutes," because there are too many child predators around. Well, that's what it's like, even more with the internet. And we've got to be actively involved with how old a kid is when they get a cell phone. What interaction we have with what they do, make sure social media that up until a certain age of responsibility that you have passwords, you know everything they're doing, get accountability software so you can then check every site they've been to. You'll be notified on your computer. It's an unbelievable cesspool. Someone just sent a link, Brandon, about a new show on Netflix that is basically a sexually explicit show for children. And we've looked at some stuff and featured it on the air, some extreme gay activist stuff, which is teaching kids stuff to kids they don't even understand. And now you're trying to introduce them to concepts of being gender queer and things like that. So it's a time to be vigilant. For most of our kids' upbringing, we didn't even have a TV in the house because we just didn't want to be around certain things. And we had a TV screen so we could watch videos together and things like that we wanted to do. But that's how That was our way of monitoring. That was a long time ago. That was a lot easier than today. So we've got to be vigilant. We absolutely must be involved. Brandon, thanks for raising that word of warning. 866-34-TRUTH. Benjamin on Twitter asks, when correcting a brother, is there a time period or more so a leading of the Spirit when it's decided to break fellowship from him? Well, you always want to reconcile. You always want to do your best to be a peacemaker. Many times there is a way to reach out to someone which is not as confrontational. You put the burden on yourself in reaching out. But if someone has sinned and it's a serious issue and they refuse to repent, if it's not the kind of thing that you bring to the rest of the congregation, you know, for the purpose of confrontation by the elders or leaders as per se Matthew 18 or 1 Corinthians 5, then I would just say that if someone has really sinned against you, they don't humble themselves, they don't acknowledge it, they harden their hearts against you, you really can't have fellowship. It's not going to happen. If you know you've been lied to or they're lying to themselves, it's not going to happen. So you pursue peace when it becomes counterproductive, when it becomes something that's now stirring up more tension. You just kind of go your own way and pray for that person and hope that a door of fellowship will open and they'll come to repentance. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Steve in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I've got a question. I have a friend, and she's concerned about a spiritual. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. She's concerned about a spiritual sin that she encountered when she was a kid. And I've tried talking to her, and I haven't been able to find anything in the scriptures. But she apparently, when she tells me, she was watching a movie or something or other, and she had this crazy thought that if the movie ended before 8 o'clock or something, she would sell her soul or something along those lines. And I don't know, the movie ended before it was posted, so all of a sudden she was afraid that she had, you know, sold her soul. And I think she might have a little OCD, because that started the whole thing about, okay, well, if I can make this traffic light, then it'll undo it, and I won't, you know. And she's always, like, playing games, this kind of thing, you know.
Let me just jump in. Obviously, this is not some little game we play where we forever sell our soul to the devil or to darkness in this way. There's obviously a deeper confusion that she's having. So what I would do my best to do is sit down with her and say, okay, do you believe the Bible is God's word? Yeah. Yes. Okay. So let's go through this. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Right? Just go through basic verses. Have you sinned against God? Yes. Have you asked him to forgive you? Yes. Do you believe the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin? Do you believe that Jesus died for the ungodly, the Messiah died for the ungodly? And just say, okay, believe that. Believe what's written. That's God speaking. Our minds can confuse us. Different things we see and hear can confuse us. But God's word is 100% true. Do you believe that? Yes. Okay. So then God says that if you truly ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive you. God's word says if you come to him, he won't cast you out. So whatever sins you've committed, large or small, Jesus died for them. And if she's having a hard time believing, but what about this, but what about that, then there's a deeper spiritual problem, some deeper spiritual confusion, in which case a pastor or a counselor might really be able to help her, because something else is going on that's blurring her vision and blocking her from believing what's plainly written. And like you said, OCD, whatever other personality quirks or issues or problems she may have, there's probably a whole way. The same person that, say, has to wash their hands 100 times a day because they're afraid that they have germs, that same person is probably spiritually going to have a problem with believing they're forgiven once and for all, or believing that when God says you're cleansed, or believing that when God says no more guilt, that it's real. Now, it's not universal that's going to happen. But I remember one guy like that. He was OCD in the natural, and he had a real hard time believing that God forgave him spiritually, and he kept feeling he was dirty all the time. So sometimes there are these deeper psychological or spiritual problems, and when we get to that root, then everything else falls into place. But I would not engage the specifics because they're not true. I would try to – go ahead.
One of her things is that in Genesis where Esau sells his birthright and she kind of clings to that. That's not the same thing, really, is it?
Well, number one, did she consciously say, consciously, I am forfeiting my relationship with God for whatever? That's first thing. And second thing, Esau couldn't get his birthright back because it was given to someone. But her salvation was not given to anyone else, all right? So no matter what, show her Manasseh and show her Ahab, two of the most wicked men in the Old Testament. But when they repented, God forgave them. All right, so show them these other examples and then go to Luke 15, prodigal son. Lord, set this woman free.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's a question from Elizabeth. Is a female pastoral counselor considered in a spiritual authority position over a male client as per biblical principles? The big issue, as I understand it, is a woman usurping authority over a man, taking authority that is not rightly hers. A spiritual counseling position, someone is coming asking for help, and if it's appropriate for a woman to counsel a man, that would be the bigger issue. How far can counseling go? Should counseling be limited to only counseling members of the same sex, so women counsel women and men counsel men? Those are valid questions to ask. But someone is coming and willfully saying, I'm looking for your help, I'm looking for your input. So would I have a problem with a man reading a book by a gifted female counselor who gives great insight, say, onto how to change a negative self-image or how to motivate oneself to succeed or how to deal with guilt or depression? That's what someone was writing about. The man read the book. No, I have no problem with it. I have no problem with that man saying, I'm choosing my own volition to get counseling from this woman. Again, I just say that the question is, men counseling women and women counseling men, there has to be certain wisdom with it. There have to be certain parameters with it. There's a lot that's shared where you can get into depth, where it's very easy to form some type of emotional dependency. You say, well, it's a counselor. We deal with all that. I understand that. I'm just speaking larger terms as far as wisdom. But the authority issue, no, I don't have a problem with that. You are going and asking for that person's help. They are not wrongly usurping authority. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Bob, somewhere also in North Carolina. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I heard you on Josh Tolley's show a couple weeks ago. And I'm always yelling at the radio. Now, Josh has banned me from his station because he doesn't want to accept what I have to tell him. But I feel that there's a lot of gatekeepers out there, and most of it is Zionist talk. For instance, most every time you do a show or Josh does a show or someone does a show, it seems like all the perpetrators of all the violence and the evil doers are Jewish. But yet that's never pointed out. But if it's a Muslim person...
Let's try this one thing. Okay, the shooter in Las Vegas, was he Jewish?
Am I still in the air?
The shooter in Las Vegas, was he Jewish?
Was Geldman Gold the lady who said...
The shooter in Las Vegas, was he Jewish, yes or no?
Well, see, you're trying to direct my...
All right, we're done. Obviously, Josh is using a little wisdom and banning someone who spews lies. What you just said, Bob, about all the crimes and violence, they're Jews. All right, 500-plus killed in Chicago this year. You're saying that most of the murderers are Jews? You're saying that. Okay, David Berkowitz, serial killer, Jewish, secular Jew, of course. How many others were Jewish out of serial killers in our nation's history? Give me the list of the top 10 worst offenders. Oh, they're not there. Isn't that interesting? and on we go. Bob, the truth can be uncomfortable. You, sir, hold to classic anti-Semitic lies that have no basis in truth whatsoever. And whatever it is that's motivating you to follow these lies is also destroying your own soul. So best to wake up to reality. And by the way, as a Jewish believer in Jesus, I'm the first to take issue with my people for rejecting the Messiah. And I'm very glad to take issue with Israel when Israel does things that are wrong. No problem. And I'm very happy to point out how Jewish atheists like Sam Harris are influential, and Jewish media moguls, often very liberal and with an agenda very different than mine, or folks in the ACLU or SPLC, Jewish leaders that have, an anti-biblical agenda. Very happy to speak out against that. But I'm not going to spew lies, nor am I going to let someone come on the show and spew lies, especially when they don't have the integrity to give a simple yes or no answer that refutes their bogus position. Well, thanks at least for enlivening things for a few minutes. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, I'm happy, friends. I'm happy to have someone that is going to spew lies so as to expose them, as long as they'll give me an honest answer to an honest question. When I don't even see that happening, then our show is not going to be a platform for garbage. I'm happy to use it as a platform to expose things. Follow what I'm saying? Go ahead. Great. We'll let you expose the bizarre nature and the fallacious nature of your error. No problem. Got no issue with that. But if we can't even get an answer with integrity, nah, not going to happen. Hey, friends, just dawned on me, all of you listening in South Carolina, tonight, yes, Tuesday night, shortly after radio, I'm going to be driving down, God willing, with some of the students from Fire School of Ministry, some of our first-year students in our amazing class. We're going to be driving down together to North Greenville University in South Carolina. It is on Tigerville Road in Tigerville, South Carolina. So maybe 2 hours outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you're in South Carolina, it's in Tigerville. All right, North Greenville University on Tigerville Road in Tigerville, South Carolina. I'm sure if you live in Tigerville, you know the university well. And it is going to be in the Kraft Hemphill Building. All right, the Kraft Hemphill Building. And the talk is going to be from 7 to 8 tonight. And interestingly, I've been asked to address a biblical response to the transgender movement. We'll do it with truth and with love. We will speak the truth in love. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. My latest article, which you can read on our website, AskDrBrown.org, explains why transgender activism will not work, why it will not change the nation. So you say it's changed the nation already on a certain level, but the pushback is there. Biological differences, male-female distinctives, are too real, too foundational to be ignored. And that's why I feel very confident that ultimately, the sexual revolution, especially in particular in its expression in transgender activism, that will not succeed in changing America. Sexual revolution as a whole has had a disastrous effect on the nation. Transgender activism has brought much confusion as well, but I do believe the pushback will continue. You can read that article at AskDrBrown.org. Along with a number of great new videos that I think you'll enjoy and find interesting, rich content, biblical questions being answered, controversial issues being addressed, hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. That's our approach to all that we do. And it's our joy to serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I want to thank you for standing with us. I want to thank you for participating together in this movement, this worldwide Jesus movement, where the Lord changes us and we go and change our world. Again, if you haven't connected with me at AskDrBrown.org, do so today. Sign up for our emails. I've got a free ebook to send you.